stories from around the corner
and around the country.
You're listening to All the Best.
Proudly supported by the Art Gallery of New South Wales.
You're listening to All the Best from FBI Radio 94.5. I'm Madhura Prakash. Before we get into our stories, I want to take a moment to acknowledge that I'm recording from stolen Gadigal land and pay my respect to Gadigal elders past and present, and recognise the area that I'm recording in Redfern, has long been a place of storytelling, strength, resistance and resilience for First Nations communities. This week, stories about the power of cats. These creatures that can be our spiritual companions and also catalysts of pure chaos. In our first story, Mike answers a call to a cat-themed adventure. Or rather, makes one himself.
We're drowning in stories. They're in flat tyres. They're sunk in a deep fryer. They're tied in knots in fishing line in the back shed. This one was taped to a telegraph pole. Every damn day on my way to work, I saw it. Tortured me. A printout with a photo and words that said,
Lost. Reward offered for the return of Lulu. Ginger and white short-haired cat. Missing from Arncliffe. 5 years old. Last seen, April 2018.
Hashtag find Lulu.
After months of looking at the sign and that stupid, innocent cat's face, I couldn't help myself. I had to call the number. The conversation went something like...
Hello?
Hey.
Hello, it's Mike.
Wait. It was more like...
Hi, it's Mike. I was just wondering, did you ever find your cat?
No. Have you seen my cat? Where are you?
Oh, no, sorry, I don't have her. I was just curious what happened.
Oh, no. If you see her, let me know. Could you keep an eye out?
Curiosity didn't kill the cat, but it made the owner feel bad. I was hoping to hear a story of joy, a cat and owner reunited. Wasn't to be. What surprised me was the owner, Lena, still had hope. Keep an eye out? Right, okay. It's been 6 months. Lulu was long gone. Until one night, a few months later, she wasn't.
Lulu. Let's see if she answers to her name. Lulu. It's exciting.
Hello, this is Lena. I'm a baby.
Please leave your email after the tone.
Hi, Mike. Sorry. Hi there. It's Mike here. And I think I found your cat right near Arncliffe train station. Give me a call.
The sadness in Lena's voice had been echoing inside me.
Could you keep an eye out?
I vowed, no matter what it would take, I'd wait until I could get a hold of her.
You know, I need some... Oh, yeah, she's talking.
Oh, hello.
She's talking now.
What are you doing?
I imagine the look on Lena's face. After 6 long months, she'd finally embrace her best friend
That's
again.
A bit weird.
And me. I'd be the one who saved the day. My hero, of sorts. I couldn't possibly accept the $20 reward. And the story, oh, the story. They do a write-up in the St. George Leader. I did it because I care. That's what we do in this neighbourhood, they'd quote me. I'd dine out in the...
Shit, she's running away. She's really fast as well. She's like full leap and bound sort of deal. Lulu! Oh, no! Oh, no!
After half an hour, I was pretty over it.
The owner isn't picking up her phone.
Standing. Following her around.
Why are you stalking me? It's creepy.
Oh, she's like digging a hole. Oh, no, she's going to the toilet.
Oh, what?
Right, okay. I don't know exactly what... Never seen that before.
I would have to try and restrain the cat. It was too risky just waiting around. Lulu could run off at any minute. But I don't have a lot of confidence with animals.
I've never picked up a cat. We just wasn't brought up in a cat family, so I'm always intimidated by them.
I rang a friend who told me to take her back to my garage. Low and slow, she said.
She said, bend low and slow.
Don't think about
and
it.
And just pick it up. So I just got to do it.
If you do...
Hello, Lulu. Hello. Not sure where to grab you, but low and slow. That's okay.
There we go.
Okay, we got the claws happening, but I got a good grip here underneath the arms. Now, it's all right.
What I hadn't thought through was how I'd open the car door to get out the garage door key while I was holding the cat.
I'm sorry. I can't open the car door!
Ciao!
Lulu felt my weakness and ran free.
I've lost the cat. I had to put it down.
I realised if I was going to apprehend the cat...
Do you know how to handle cats?
I'd need another set of hands.
Can you do me a favour? You guys cat people?
I desperately asked people walking by.
Not a cat person?
A kind soul emerged.
I'll pick the cat up. You just need to close the garage for me when we get in there. I'll just grab the cat. One sec.
I left the man standing next to my garage while I ran after Lulu. For the first time since I found her, she was out of sight.
I'm about to lose the cat, I know it. About to lose it. Come on, Mike. No. Oh, no.
But by chance, instinct, or greater force...
Oh, this stick it again.
Come on, Lulu, I want to get you back to...
She emerged.
Lena, you remember Lena?
She was up the street.
There we go. You're playing with the stick now.
I sat and coaxed her with a stick for 15 minutes.
Here we go.
Eventually she trusted me.
Take a breath, Lena.
Poked her head out from underneath a parked car.
Oh, it's not...
This time I'd have to carry her even further. There was no other way.
I got you. It's all right. Take it easy. Can you feel its heart beating? I'm scared too. Shh. I'm scared too. Shh.
Lost.
It's really heavy. It's okay.
The return of Lulu.
Oh, shit. The guy waited.
Missing from Arnhem. 5 years old.
The guy waited for me. Can't believe it.
Last scene.
The passenger side door.
Hashtag find Lulu.
In the glove box. Open the passenger side door.
Missing from Arncliffe.
Top glove box, yeah. Green key. Can you shut it?
Hashtag find Lulu.
You can see it. The green key.
The random man had waited, but he couldn't find the button to open the garage door. He had one job.
Look in my left pocket. Yes, my left pocket. It might be in there.
Okay, turns out it was in my pocket. He put his hand in my trouser pocket, pulled out the button and struck it. A shadow descended as the garage door began to fall. The stranger, still holding my garage door button, watched on as I, still holding a partially feral cat, began to disappear. I realised again I had not properly thought this bit through. With every inch, the door fell slower. Just before the door reached total eclipse, my hands buckled. Lulu roared as if to say...
Not this time, Deacon.
Oh, wait, oh no! Open it!
Lulu broke free and slid under the door, Indiana Jones style.
What a knob.
I stood alone, in darkness, trapped in my own garage.
Where'd it go? What's your name?
I'm Rodney.
Rodney Mark. It's not my cat.
It was late and getting later. Lulu was lost and getting loster. Lena was getting Lulu back tonight, no matter what. Clearly the garage wasn't going to work. Drastic measures were needed.
The only thing I can think of
is putting the cat in...
After relocating Lulu for the third time, a simpler plan was discussed.
Yeah.
Inspired by the villain from The Smurfs, we would sneak up behind her and trap her in a box.
Yeah, I'm going to put it on top of it.
Hey, buddy. We got a milk crate here. And it's going to go on top of you. And...
the crate's a bit small. Let's keep an eye on it. Bigger box in the garage. Got a bigger box. Yeah.
Hey, Lulu.
Turns out I was a regular Gargamel.
Hey.
I crept up behind her.
Hey, Marnie.
And then...
oh, this is so lame. Okay. Are you serious?
I guess there's no air in there, is there?
Yeah, there's no air.
There's no air, okay.
So just open it a bit, slightly.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It was all coming together. Rodney and I took turns holding the tub ajar for oxygen. It was approaching 2 hours since I'd first found her. Finally.
Hello, Lena.
Hi.
Hi, it's Mike here. I think I have your cat.
Oh.
I've got a box. I'm just holding her here for you.
Oh, awesome. I'll bring a cat carrier. Awesome. Thank you so much. I'll see you in 2 days.
Hi, Lena.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
What do we have here? We've got... oh no, it's not him.
Oh, it's not?
No.
White short-haired cat, missing from Arnhem.
It wasn't Lulu.
Oh, it's no. The one that lives here.
Oh no.
But no, that's totally cool. I really appreciate
it. Open this or?
Yeah, open it. This one lives here. Oh.
Okay.
This lives that one.
Oh no.
But thank you so much.
The cat, whose real name is Harry, slunk away. Lena left with an empty cat carrier. Rodney went home for dinner. I collapsed on my living room floor.
I actually feel really sick.
What's wrong? What happened?
Stitch.
I was in shock.
Why have you been running? What's going on?
Yeah, I've been chasing the cat for an hour and a half.
I realised I was very unfit.
You probably got lactic acid because you've been moving.
But also, I just spent 2 hours trying to steal my neighbour's cat.
It was the wrong cat.
I was flooded with emotions. I put my head in my hands.
Oh, my hands smell like cat.
All I had was this story.
That story was produced by Mike Williams. It was originally commissioned by Transom.org. For more stories by Mike, visit mikewilliams.com.au. Up next, a sweet story about fate in the form of a feline friend.
The first time I saw Alexander, I knew I would fall for him. It was a photo of him sitting under the sun. His arms surrounded his chest, his eyes half closed. "He's really handsome," said Heidi, the auntie who introduced him to me. Alexander came to my place in late October, when Melbourne was still in lockdowns. I met Heidi outside her car. She took out a carrier from the front passenger seat. I walked closer, and I saw a big black cat lying down on his belly. He looked at me with his big yellow eyes. And that's Alexander. He's 4 years old, and he's my first foster cat. Since the first lockdown started in March, I had been considering fostering cats. As an international student, I lived alone in a high-rise while my family was miles away. During this time, loneliness is my companion, and I wanted to find emotional support. Fostering happens when street animals come into care, as they can't be listed for adoption immediately. Some of them are already used to the wildlife on the street. It takes time for them to get used to indoor living. Foster carers offer a temporary home for these cats before their adoption. Aristotle once said, "Humans are social animals. At a time like this, we certainly seek companions, including from our furry friends." 2 days after I submitted my application, the rescue group contacted me and told me about Alexander. Before that, I only saw him from the photo. He was first seen in a street in Bundjura in April. Since then, he visited almost every household on the street for food. They believe it was time for him to relearn indoor living, and my apartment would be a good fit. I named him Alexander because I wanted him to be as brave as Alexander the Great. At first, Alexander hid under the sink in my bathroom. He was just de-sexed and a bit unsure about the new home and me.
Alexander! Alexander! Alex! Look at me, Alex! Look at me!
But a day later, he started stretching the bathroom door, demanding to have a tour of my place. He walked cautiously, tail pointing down. And 2 hours later, after I returned home, I found him sitting on the couch, legs stretching out. He heard the noise, turned his head to me, as if he was the king. Once he saw me, he climbed down from the couch, walked around me, and rubbed against my legs. He even licked my foot. It was a tremendous feeling. The moment when Alexander touched me, it was like something was connected. Since the second lockdown began, I had been feeling isolated from the world. I sometimes even felt I was living in a boundless dark room. I forgot the existence of time and space, and the fear that I would never be able to reach people hovered over me all the time. But the touching from Alexander was magical. I mean, his claws were so long that he almost hurt me. He kept scratching my couch too, and seemed determined to destroy it. But despite all this, Alexander's presence and his action were like a message. It meant I wouldn't be alone for the rest of the lockdown. And for him, my companionship could also be healing. Alexander was scared of being left at home. He followed me everywhere. When it came to my sleeping time, he would jump on the bed but rest on its edge so that he could stay without disturbing me. It's still unclear why Alexander appeared in the street alone. But usually there could be two reasons. Some people might lose their cats when they move out, or they couldn't afford their pets, and rather than sending the cats to shelter, they just dumped them on streets. But whatever reason it was, he was abandoned, and he had a tough life. He loved food so much, and every time when he saw something that looked like food, he would chew it, and therefore I had to keep an eye on him. While I found this funny, I couldn't help but wonder what he'd experienced that made him so desperate about food. His interest in food even extended to the delivery man. Every time when he heard the bell, he would come out and welcome the delivery people. Alexander also found out my daily routine. When it was my time to wake up, he would call me, jump on and off the bed until I was awake.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Why?
When I was working, he would quietly sit next to me or sometimes sleep on my lap. When I was out for groceries, he would see me off at the door. And when I came back, even before I inserted the key, I could hear him mewing on the other side. Alexander and I didn't understand each other's languages, but it seemed there was a line that drew us together. In Chinese culture, we have a spiritual element called yuan. It's similar to the concept of fate in the West. However different and distant you are from each other, you will meet if you have the fate. If you don't have the fate, whatever efforts you make are just a waste of time. So why did Alexander appear at this time if he's my fate? Soon I had this answer. It was Saturday night, I remember. Someone I saw as a friend for 4 years suddenly disconnected me from social media. I was later told that they felt annoyed to see my messages, even if the latest message I sent to them were just a check-in during the lockdown. I lied on the couch, reflected on the previous good time we had, and I cried and cried and cried. The lockdowns certainly had been a special examination for relationships, and sometimes the outcome could be heartbreaking. All of a sudden, I felt something jump on. It was Alexander. He climbed up and then sat down closely next to my shoulder. He looked at me, moving even closer. I raised my hand, wanting to touch him, but he suddenly bit me. He immediately ran away to a further spot, but still stared at me. His sudden bite stopped me from crying. And as I gaped at him, I realized that was his message. Don't be sad. I'm here with you. That was the moment I knew I wanted to keep him with me. I gave Heidi from the rescue group a call, telling her that I wanted to keep Alexander. Then I lied on the floor, watched Alexander and reflected on the magical bond we had. It was like the empty hole in my heart was filled. A feeling and belief that from now on, I am no longer lonely because of him. A few days later, I received a long rejection message from Heidi. She explained it took great effort for the group to rescue a cat. As a temporary resident, I would be likely to return home one day, and they worried about the long haul flight that Alexander might need to suffer. Even if it was a small possibility, they didn't want to lose him, me either. When I received the message, Alexander was having a nap on the couch. If it was fate for me to meet him, then why did we need to say farewell? While all these emotions flooded towards me, Alexander was still asleep. He was like an angel when he fell asleep. You could even see his little tongue. Before he moved in, Heidi told me that Alexander often had his dinner with a lady on his street. 1 week before he moved in, he was found sleeping on the lady's couch. He must have missed living indoors. Maybe that's why we met. At a time when I suffered from loneliness, I had Alexander's companionship. On his way to his forever home, he was able to stay with me and have regular meals and a safe, warm place to sleep. It had been a special time for us, and I knew this from our farewell. 2 weeks later, Alexander was adopted. While waiting for his new human to pick him up, I talked to him. This is our last time seeing each other. I won't forget you, and please don't forget me. Alexander rubbed my leg and licked me, as if he understood. As I said bye to Alexander, it was the end of a relationship. But it's also the beginning of many new relationships. I chatted regularly with Alexander's new owner, who also happened to be Chinese. She would send me updates of Alexander, and we decided to catch up in the coming weeks. I also started fostering new cats.
What are you doing? Did you just purr?
Sometimes I still miss Alexander. I once googled about cats' memory, and it seems they do remember who has fed them. I hope Alexander would remember me. And that's how our Yuan continues, packed away in the treasure boxes of our memories.
That piece was produced by Wing Kwang. The supervising producer was Mel Chun. All the Best would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we make these stories and pay our respects to elders past and present. All the Best is made at FBI Radio on Gadigal land, in association with SYN and 3RRR on Wurundjeri Woiwurrung and Boonwurrung lands, and ACCC on Arundi and Warramungu lands. The All the Best editorial producer is Mel Bakewell, and Phoebe Adler-Ryan is our executive producer. Our social media producer is Isabella Lee, and our social media assistant is Seth Emmerich. Patrick McKenzie is our community coordinator, and Janae Madden is our content assistant. Shining Bird composed our theme music, and Annie Hamilton designed the artwork. We're heard across Australia on the Community Radio Network, and we're made possible by the Art Gallery of New South Wales and the Community Broadcasting Foundation. You can find our full archive of more than 500 episodes at allthebestradio.com. I'm Madhura Prakash. Thanks for listening.